Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 28 through 40. The triumphal entry. After telling a story, Jesus went on toward Jerusalem, walking ahead of his disciples. As they came to the town of Bethphage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives, he sent his two disciples ahead. "Go into the village over there," he told them, "and as you enter it, you will see a colt tied there that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say, 'The Lord needs it.'" So they went and found the colt, just as Jesus had said. And sure enough, as they were untying it, the owners asked them, "Why are you untying our colt?" And the disciples simply replied, "The Lord needs it." So they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments over it for him to ride on. Then the crowd spread out their coats on the road ahead of Jesus. As they reached the place where the road started down from the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. "Bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven." But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, "Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that." He replied, "If they kept quiet, the stones along the road would burst into cheers." The word of God for the people of God.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. You know, earlier when I said, "Please be seated," I didn't realize my mic was on. It sounded like I was yelling at you, huh? It's like, "Sit down now." I would never say that to you.
Yes, I would.
So, no, I would never say that to you. Folks, also, you know, I've grown up in the church. Not everybody has. But I love whenever we have 278, Hosanna Loud Hosanna, and Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And I especially loved the way that offertory was this morning. Wasn't that wonderful, a cappella? Wasn't that beautiful? Let's go ahead and give them a hand. I thought that was absolutely great. It helps me personally to remember, hey, it's Palm Sunday. Yeah. You know, and sometimes Lent goes by so quickly. I understand that as you get older and older, anybody here getting older, by the way? Anybody feeling? Nope. Okay. Anybody feeling younger and younger? Go ahead and raise your hand. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But you understand that things start happening during the year, and it becomes a matter of not days or weeks or months, but holidays. Okay. And it's like, wow. Okay. It's Halloween. Oh, wow. It's Thanksgiving. Wow. It's Christmas. Wow. It's Easter. Wow, you get the point, yeah. You start doing it by that. Wow, it's 4th of July, things like that. Things start moving quickly in our world. And so that's another reason why we worship. Because we stop. In worship, we don't need to be inundated with all sorts of instant messages and texting and cell phones. Anybody still have theirs on, by the way? So I'm kind of feeling wound up today, so I might point you out if it goes off. I'm just warning you right now. Just warning you. And it better be God. That's all I'm saying. And all of these kind of bom, 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 constant inundation. You know, anybody here have a computer? Anybody heard of a computer? Anybody need help hooking up your computer? Anybody have to call your grandchild to hook up your computer? Okay? You know, all of that kind of inundation. And worship is about pulling away from that for a while, okay? And it's okay. We don't have to think about anything else other than God. Breathe in, and then breathe out. You're always good to do those two things in a row, brother. All that's going to serve you well in life, you specifically. Breathe in and breathe out. Join with me in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for how you've brought us to this place. You've heard the words. To some, they're quite familiar. To others, maybe a reminder. To all of us, a reflection of how you work. Because we're called to follow Jesus as well. In this very moment, in this very life. We pray in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This particular scripture passage reminds us of things starting to roll in the biblical narrative as well. You know, our lives move along quickly. So do things start rolling in the Bible. Previous to this reading today from the Lucan narrative, Jesus foretells his death and resurrection a third time. This is the third time that he shared it. So everything else should probably be informing that now. As people see things, as people see Jesus in action, as they continue to hear him, everything should be kind of informing that what they've already been taught by Jesus, specifically told. Jesus heals a blind beggar. Jesus gets together with Zacchaeus. In other words, grace is for all people. Those who are on the outside, those who are isolated, those who no longer feel like they are connected to God, grace is for them as well. Those who are ostracized, those who feel like they are not worthy of God's love, grace is for them as well. For us, are we worthy? No! That's the correct answer. No! We are not worthy. And yet, does God still wash over us with his grace? Are we loved? Now say that. Okay, it's the correct answer for that. We are loved. No question about it. No question about it. Jesus also tells a story about the 10 pounds, tells a story of trustworthiness in that. And then we come to the story today. Thinking about grace and thinking about who is included in God's house is something that I was reminded of the past 3 days. I was at Black Canyon School. Now, it sounds like a nice place, doesn't it? It's a jail for juveniles. It's a juvenile detention center. Barbed wire, high fences, sally ports. In other words, you go in one gate, that closes behind you. The next gate opens, you go in that closes behind you. You go through a metal detector, they check, go through all your different stuff. It's interesting, but I never knew that this could be a dangerous weapon. But they sure did search it, check through it thoroughly. Actually, what's interesting is the individuals that were checking through that Bible so thoroughly were probably more thoroughly checking that Bible than some Christians check their Bibles. We were finally let in another door. That closed behind us. And then another door was unlocked. We went through that. Finally, we were in. And we walked over. Had a nice little refreshing walk to the chapel. And it's a beautiful chapel. It really is. It's probably about a quarter of the size of this, probably, but it's a wonderful chapel. And we were gathered in groups of individuals, two adults to a table. And then the young ladies came in. And their stories continue to surprise and astound me. And we heard their stories as we were sharing with them and they were sharing with us over the next 3 days. Some of them came right out with their stories. Because some of these young ladies, they're all teenagers, by the way. Once they reach the age of 18, they're out. They're either out on their own or they're sent to another facility. Generally, they're out on their own. And some of these ladies had been through IKEA previously. And so they had had an opportunity to share and to release and to cry and to pray and to understand that God's love was for them as well. Just like what God incarnate, Jesus was sharing to all who would pay attention before this triumphal entry today, okay? What he was saying is, everyone's included. God's grace is for everyone. Whether you feel ready or not, it's not about your worthiness, it's about God's love for you. These girls were learning that. So some of those girls that had been on Kaya's before were also now helping at the tables. In fact, there was one of those girls at each table, and they were specifically called the table leaders. Antoinette was our table leader. And she was a young lady who had quite a powerful story. I'm not going to get into the details here, but she was a phenomenal table leader. You know what? I would trust her, no question about it. Trust her completely to be chairing one of our committees here at the church, to be a liturgist, to be in a position of leadership, because she had truly handed her life over to God. And what was amazing is that this young lady, a teenager, okay, with all the peer pressure, with all the drama, with all the threat of violence and intimidation within that very place, continued to point to God in her life. Even when she was being pulled away, even when she was being challenged, even when her so-called friends said, you know, why are you doing that? Why bother? She continued to follow Jesus. She continued to keep consistent with her choice. At the end, there is what they call an agape dinner. Agape, unmerited love. Greek for love that, you know, you can't really return. You just have to receive it. It's the God's love for us, agape love, given to us without any strings attached. And the tables, we had been sitting at round tables. We moved all those out of the way. And you know what? Sometimes I'm really thankful for my training as a pastor in moving tables, because I can do that really, really well. I've had full-time training in that, round, square. It doesn't matter what shape. I can move tables and chairs like a champion. I think that's why they got me there. So when I had moved those outside, and we made the shape of a cross in the long tables like we have here, okay? Made that in the shape of a cross, had Jesus at the head of the table, had a picture of Jesus, had lights on the table and kind of dimmed the lights. And then we had all the girls come in, we sang to them, and we served them the best meal that they've had in a long, long, long time. And individuals from the outside came in to serve all of these girls. Adults, again, every adult, every single adult that was there had to go through security clearance, had to go through checks, background checks, yours truly included. I'm glad they didn't call Pennsylvania, but yours truly included. And so, you know, we were all there and surrounding them in our love, and they had this phenomenal meal. And then there was an opportunity for them to be able to get up as tables and share and witness concerning what had happened on this weekend, what had happened in these 3 days. And this is where the kicker was for me. Because there were two girls specifically that at the table that I happened to be at who didn't necessarily share a whole lot. I mean, they followed along. They participated. You know, they're kind of tough girls, but they opened their Bibles and they were following along. And yet, whenever it got to their time to come to the microphone and share before this community and before their peers about what it was to follow Jesus, there was weeping. And there was uncontrollable emotion pouring out. And one young sister in Christ specifically was talking about the fact that she could not believe that God really loved somebody that had done the things that she had done. Tears streaming down her face. A room just silent, receiving that phenomenal offering of her tears, of her broken heart, of herself. That is someone who wants to follow Jesus. That is someone who is seeking with all that they can to follow their Lord and Savior. It was startling to me to be able to see that outpouring, to be able to witness it, to be standing there, and to think quite honestly in my own mind, where did this come from? Well, I know where it came from. Came from God at work in the heart and minds and soul and body of another one of his children. And that child, for the first time, realizing that it was God who was at work in her. And God would never stop working in her. There is a decision that was put before the girls, each and every one of them. And they weren't coerced, they weren't forced, they weren't humiliated. It was done in a very subtle way. It was done in a way of love. But they were specifically asked, who will you follow? And if they weren't sure, that was okay too. And there were those who ended this 3 days who were still kind of struggling. Yeah, they wanted to follow Jesus. They wanted to be open to God in their lives, but you know, they were still struggling with some things. Well, thank goodness the Kaya movement also meets with these girls, and it has individuals, regular volunteers, that meet with them every other Saturday. And it has a brother in Christ who's a great servant of God who leads a Bible study every Thursday. And it has other volunteers, great servants of God, brother and sister, who lead regular worship every week. So you see, there's going to be those opportunities. It's not just like they're dropped out there and forgotten. Say, okay, on your way, they're encouraged and they continue to be surrounded in communities of love. When these girls were pouring out the fact, by the way, out of the 5 girls, the teenagers, at the table that I was at, 3 had babies. They were on the outside, being taken care of, hopefully, by family or friends. When you hear about these stories of these girls and their family lives, what they came up with, willingly and openly sharing that they had been raped. One young lady saying that the birth that she gave was from a rape. But still seeking and wanting and striving through tears and effort and great humility to follow the one who is described today in the scripture passage coming into Jerusalem in a very humble way. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for us today? It means for us that we are called to also make that decision. We are called to make that decision every day, actually. To decide when we wake up in the morning, for instance, Lord Jesus, I'm going to follow you today. You understand, there's something else you need to know about this particular procession. It was heading into the week of Passover. I guess I should talk about the scripture a little bit, huh? It was heading into the week of Passover, all right? So Jesus is coming in one side. Guess who's coming into town on the other side? Pilate. Coming in with all the pomp and power of Rome. Chariots, gold breastplates. I'm glad I don't have to wear a breastplate anymore. I'd look really funny walking around Yuma. It'd get really kind of hot also. With soldiers coming in, showing the might of the world. That's one choice. To follow the might of the world, to follow what the world says is right. The other choice is to follow the one that comes in on a donkey. Humbly. A borrowed donkey, if you will. Not even belonging to him. And the choice is clear for us as well. I appreciate this morning you allowing me to share a little bit about my past 3 days. But I felt that it was important, and I felt that it was intricately connected to this story, because this story is one about choice also, no question about it. It's not just a remembrance of a parade. In fact, it was anything but a parade. It was about God's kingdom and God's reign coming into fruition. But also, it was about the one who came to save us, heading closer and closer to the object of salvation, the cross. So this week, you see, is a week of decision. I'm not going to call each and every one of you up and say, what did you decide? If you get a phone call from the church, it's the church's number on it, don't be afraid to return it. I'm not going to put you on the spot. If I see you in Walmart, don't race down the aisle and pretend like you didn't see me. Don't avoid me. You know, I pop up all over the place in town. You never know when I'm going to pop up or where you're going to see me. Don't be afraid, because it's not really about answering to me. It's about answering to God. What is your decision? With all the things that each of us carries in our lives, with all the things that we take to the cross, just like those girls took it to the cross as well. What is our decision? You know, there's another part of Kaya, just briefly, where they actually take things that they want to offer to God and not carry anymore, okay? Burdens, abuses, things that have happened to them, things that they've done to others. Remember, these girls have also done things to put them in jail. There's accountability there, I understand, no question. And that's clear, and they understand it, believe me. Nobody's making excuses. But another ceremony, there's a big cross. It's actually as big as that one. And it's laid down, and they come up, and they nail those sins to the cross. Now, we have to count all the nails, obviously. It's a jail. But we take those off the cross, we take them outside, and we burn them. That's the first night. So you see, everything has been a progression up until this point. This progression that we hear about in the scripture is leading to the cross. Are you ready? Are you ready this week, as those who claim the name of Christ, to head to the cross with Jesus? I'd invite you to take a few moments just to be thinking about who you will decide to follow this week and during your life. The world or Jesus? Join with me in prayer.